Welcome to Story Comic Presents, where you interview amazing storytellers and artists. This is episode 341. I'm your host, Barney Smith of StoryComic.com, and we're excited to have back with us the internationally celebrated and highly talented Amanda Call and award-winning editor-in-chief of Skirmisher Publishing, Michael Varhola.
Thanks for having
me. How's it
going?
Yeah.
Hello.
You know, before we started recording, Amanda, we mentioned that you're a three-peater, and now because you've been on three times, this is number four.
What is that?
Last time you were on, I got a four-peater, I guess.
Is that a thing?
I guess so. But every time you come on, you always bring a new guest with you. You always bring a friend.
I have so many great, wonderful people I get to work with, and I like to introduce them to the other great, wonderful people I know, like you, Barney. So.
Yeah.
And so she's the
center of the wheel of all things comics and gaming, I guess. So Amanda, do you want to introduce our listeners and our viewers to Michael Varhola?
Michael Varhola is the co-owner and editor-in-chief of Skirmisher Publishing, one of the trustee members of the Gnosis Project, which is a nonprofit. And just all around cool writer, game creator, publisher guy doing good things in the world. I have worked with Mike at Skirmisher for many years now.
maybe 15?
Close to 15 now, yeah. Close to 15. Okay. Yeah, but Mike was one of the very first professional contacts I ever made as a starting freelance artist. So we've been working together a long time. I've illustrated many, many Skirmisher books. But now we're doing something a little bit different that we wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, so Michael, talk to us a little bit about this this coloring book that you guys are having on a Kickstarter right now.
Well, this is as unlike anything that a gaming company will typically do. We're running a Kickstarter for a book called Warning Danger. It's a dual language Ukrainian and English kids activity book. And basically, one of the things I learned when I was working as a civilian volunteer in Ukraine during October and November of 2022 is that one of the many issues they're dealing with is that kids get blown up by landmines and other explosive hazards. Things like submunitions, which are little bombs that get scattered over areas, or bombs or artillery shells or grenades that are duds, but then go off if they're disturbed. And this is something that actually goes back to when I was in the first Gulf War. I was part of a civil affairs team, and kids were getting blown up every day when I was in Iraq. And that's something that stuck with me. And then when I went to Ukraine to do humanitarian relief work, I learned that this was, you know, naturally a problem that is going on there. So I spoke with some people from Ukraine SOS, which is one of the Ukrainian emergency services agencies. And they said, well, would you be willing to create a coloring book, an activity book that we could give out to kids to help them identify and be aware of and avoid landmines and other explosive hazards? And when someone asks you that question, someone asked me that question, the answer is always yes. So we started moving ahead with it at some point last year. It's been kind of slow going because it's very technical. And we want to make sure that even though we have colorable coloring book images and games and puzzles in this book, we want to make sure they're salient. We want to make sure they're technically accurate. We want to make sure that we're sending the right message to kids, the right message being identify these things and get away from them. You know, we're not teaching kids to disarm them. We don't do cutaways that show what they look like inside. The message is, this is what they look like. They're very dangerous. Get away from them. So we're running a Kickstarter campaign now. It is very possibly the most important project we've done ever. It's not necessarily the biggest one we've ever done. You know, we've got 200-300 page source books, but this is one that can save lives. And I would really implore anyone who's listening to the show, to anybody who discovers our Kickstarter page, back it for $5 and get a PDF copy of this so that you'll see what we've done with it. And if you back it for $5, that's going to fund us printing and distributing in Ukraine one copy of this book. Every $5 that we make over the initial $500, we set $500 as our funding goal. That's the cost of producing this book. And every $500 we make after that is going to get 100 of these coloring and activity books into the hands of kids in threatened areas of Ukraine. So northeastern Ukraine, border with the Donbass region, villages around Zaporizhia, Kharkiv, which is 30 miles from the Russian border. That is where we are actually going to be personally distributing them starting in about 3 weeks.
It's a coloring book, which is a fairly culturally universal thing where people will be able to do that. What about when it came to like some of the activities and some of the other things? How many of those did you have to kind of look at it from a Ukrainian lens and not necessarily a Westerner lens to say, how does this make sense to the kids that they're aimed towards?
We had to do that really from beginning to end with this. And part of it is that even though it is largely a visual medium, we really did want all the primary text to be in Ukrainian. So the English text is in there, but sometimes it's smaller, sometimes it's in the parentheses, it's always below the Ukrainian stuff. So we really wanted to emphasize this was a book for Ukrainian kids, but sometimes they'll be dealing with American volunteers or people who are, you know, part of EOD teams that might be helping us distribute this or whatever. So we wanted it to be intelligible in at least two languages, Ukrainian and English. But yeah, from a cultural point of view, we really did try to take things into consideration. And Amanda did a beautiful game board. And the game board, which takes up the middle two pages of the book, you know, which includes rules. It's basically a modified version of Snakes and Ladders, but there's a Ukrainian church, there's sunflower fields and wheat fields and pumpkin fields, which are all very characteristic. She's got a neat little illustration of Ukrainian farm. So we really wanted this to be not just an austere thing that had pictures of landmines, but something that the kids would be comfortable with, something that they would intuitively know we created for them.
Mm. Yeah, okay. You've worked with a couple of different translators at this point, Mike. I know that hasn't been my job, but I know that all of it, we didn't just run it through Google Translate. It's been translated by real humans. real native Ukrainian humans that actually speak the language and didn't just like type it in online or ask the little owl or whatever.
Right.
So that there was also some cultural consulting that came through that. I know that early on, one of the things that we discussed when we were talking about like the scale of some of the objects, we were like, oh, well, should we include some kind of common item for scale? And ultimately, we ended up just doing as many of them as possible. Mike scaled as many of them as possible to life size. And the ones that are too big, we just didn't include like the note that says actual size. Because right. One of the things we thought of really early on is like, okay, well, if you're teaching to a broad range of children entirely visually, if you want a visual scale, in the US, we would use something like, okay, like an apple. We all know roughly what size that is. Okay, but that's the size of an apple that you would get in an American grocery store, not necessarily the size of like an apple that you would get in the countryside in Ukraine. So these types of things are maybe not as standard as you think they are. And so we kind of just kind of did away with that idea, because it's like, right. Yeah, there's a certain amount of like visual idiom that isn't going to translate necessarily, because you're just dealing with a completely different culture, where it's like, what is like a good shorthand visual symbol? We're not sure. So we're just going to stick with actual size as much as we can.
Yep.
Mm. The other issue we ran into was with the game rules. That was actually kind of funny.
That was funny.
So because it's a snakes and ladder type board, it doesn't have like a spinner or anything. So we were just like, yes, use a six-sided die, because lots of people have six-sided dice because they come with lots of games. But if you don't have a six-sided die, like for whatever reason, you can't find one. Zone. You don't have one. You live in a war zone. You just don't have stuff. That's fine. So Mike originally was like, oh, well, I have this great idea for alternate set of rules. If you have two people play rock, paper, scissors, there's six possible outcomes of a combination of hand gestures. So that's your 1 through 6. And here's a little chart that corresponds, like if one person throws rock and one person throws paper, that's a 1, etc.
That's right in the book.
Yep, it's all right in the book. And then we found out when we sent it to the translator that rock, paper, scissors is not a thing in Ukraine.
She writes back and says, I don't know what this is. So we then had to create rock, paper, scissors as a thing in Ukraine. So we actually have the rules for rock, paper, scissors. And then rather than just assume you know what it is and say, use the chart to generate this number, we say, hey, here's a neat game you can play. Oh, and if you don't have dice, you can also use this to generate a number from 1 to 6. So yeah, a lot of cultural revelations as we've been doing this.
And so, because you have like you have the game in there in the middle, and you talked about some coloring books. What are the type of activities that are in the book as well?
There is a maze. That is one of the things that's in there. Then it has some illustrations by Amanda, sort of as like spot illustrations. I identify the dangerous object puzzle. So we've got a page with, I think, 30 objects on it, and about half of them are unexploded ordnance. And the other half are things that would be recognizable to kids in Ukraine. And there's a few little Easter eggs in there. So for example, one of the things looks like this weird pie. It's like, well, what's this weird pie? Well, it's this weird cherry pie. And the only place in the world it's served, I believe, is it's either KFC's or Pizza Hut's, not Pizza Hut's, Domino's. It's either Domino's or KFC's in Ukraine. This is a food product. This is created just for the Ukrainian market. So we've got a picture of one of those. We got a picture of a bowl of borscht. So basically, we've got like half of the objects on this are innocuous or day-to-day things. And the others are things that kids need to watch out for. And once again, it's just reinforcing the message of identification, awareness, avoidance.
Right. So talk to us a little bit now about the actual tiers that you got, that you've put together for this as well.
Yeah, basically the way we set this up was pretty traditional. For $5, you get a PDF copy. For $10, you get a physical copy. We figured people might want them for educational purposes or groups. So you can, one of the tiers, you can get 10 copies, physical copies of the book.
Wow.
One of the tiers, you can get 10 physical copies and a vinyl mat version of Amanda's board game. What we found was that there are people who want to sponsor one of these tiers, but they don't want the books. They want us to distribute the books for them. So really, if somebody, we're looking at this tier here, 10 print copies of activity book and game. If somebody sponsors that tier and they don't actually want the 10 activity books, that amount of money is essentially going to fund us being able to print and distribute 20 books, not 10. Wow. The 10 that they're sponsoring and not taking possession of themselves, plus the way the campaign is structured, another copy is, for each one that somebody's paying for is being subsidized and carried over by us. So, but if somebody wants a copy of the book, they shouldn't feel bad for taking it. It's programmed in that if they take a copy of the book, that's also then paying to get one into a kid's hands in Ukraine. And we've got add-ons. So if somebody, for example, wanted to cover the cost of 20 books, they could take the tier that has 10, and then as an add-on, they could select another 10 or another 20 or whatever they want. So it's very customizable.
Okay. So, as of this recording, this has been out for not very long, and you've already well surpassed your funding goal. Was there a reason why you kind of made the funding goal so... It was, you only made it to like only $500.
Well, yeah, there's, you know, you're asking, so I will answer you. one of the reasons is
we like
ran
to
a
set the bar nice and low so we can step over it.
We had just ran a Kickstarter campaign for a role-playing game that we pulled the plug on because we set a perfectly reasonable funding goal and fought for 2 weeks and could not even hit the 50% mark. And it was extremely stressful. And then we ended up walking away with nothing. We pulled the plug just because it was a foregone conclusion with what was going to happen. So part of why we set the funding goal low is because we were coming out of a very stressful period leading up to this Kickstarter. And I just couldn't face that again, especially considering I'm going to be going overseas in a couple of weeks. You know, I kind of have to get focused on other things. So we set the funding goal low so that we could fund quickly and then not stress. But on the other hand, even if all that hadn't happened, we might just as well have set it at that level because that $500 is about what we need to be able to just produce the book. If we want to just produce the book so it exists in a digital format, that's about $500. Mm-hmm. So we decided that would be the number we would shoot for. And then every $5 over $500 basically represents a book that is physically going to get taken over to Ukraine. And keep in mind, one of our goals is to set up sustainable and ongoing printing and distribution of this book. That's one of the things I'm going to be doing. I'm going to go to a number of cities in Ukraine and try to establish relationships with printers while I'm there. I'm going to be carrying flash drives that have electronic copies of the book. We give full permission right in the book for people to reproduce it freely. Mm. The only provision is they can't sell it. They can only give it away for free. This is our gift to the children of Ukraine. We are producing this and we're giving it away for free. That's what we're doing. This is not a, I've got a for-profit company. This is not a for-profit project.
That's not what we're doing here.
not what we're doing here.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing with having like such a low funding goal too, is that way you're guaranteed to fund. We knew this was something that we felt needed to happen, that we were going to make happen one way or the other. And so having the low funding goal means that we were pretty much guaranteed success. And then we can just focus on trying to make more of it, like trying to get more copies out there and not just stressing about hitting that number.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so Michael, you have the Gnosis Project which is, as you mentioned before, is your nonprofit wing. How are you able to balance your work with that as in Skirmisher Publishing along with your nonprofit work?
Well, it's not always easy. Yeah. Suffice it to say, one of the ways we do it is we never hold meetings where we discuss both organizations at the same time. So we actually have to be that artificial about it. It's either a Gnosis meeting or it's a Skirmisher meeting, and we try not to mix them. So that's one way we keep it separate. But they both have different legal mandates and requirements and strictures. So we really do have to keep them separate in every way. And their finances don't mix. They are completely separate organizations.
Gnosis, a lot of times, is actually doing stuff that is not related to Skirmisher, except in a very tangential way. Like, this is one of the few cases where Gnosis is involved in producing and distributing a publication. That's not something that Gnosis has done before.
That's right.
Exactly. So because we're normally making and producing print publications as a game company, then we're in a good position to do that for this nonprofit venture, but that's not like a typical thing by any means.
Well, because of this, is there some potential of future team ups with Skirmisher and Gnosis Project now?
There certainly is. So Skirmisher is a for-profit company, and for several years now, it's supported Gnosis financially. So we make a donation to Gnosis every year, just like any company might make a donation to World Central Kitchen or Red Cross or any other charity they support. So we've had that connection whereby Skirmisher does support Gnosis, as a sponsor. One of the things I would like to do once we finish up our Ukraine mission and really set up sustainable distribution for this version of the book there, is look at reskinning the book for other locations. So you and I were talking before the show, and you presumably know landmines are a big issue in many conflict zones or former conflict zones around the world. And it's the same landmines. most of them are either Russian-made or Russian knockoffs. There's a few exceptions to that. But we could take this book that we specially tailored for Ukraine, has 24 different landmines or explosive devices in it. 20 of those are going to be the same anywhere you go in the world. You know, if we were to create the Laos version or an Arabic version that we could distribute in Jordan and Iraq, if we were to do an Amharic version to distribute in Ethiopia because there was a recent civil war there, at least 20 out of the 24 landmines are going to be the same. So really what we're doing is changing the cover, changing the imagery of the game board, making it, once again, be something that speaks to our audience, which is to say, you know, kids 8 and under, I would say, and make them comfortable with it. So, moving ahead, one of the things I'd like to do as a Gnosis Skirmisher collaboration is have this book available in a different language. If we could do one a year, it might not sound like a lot, but you know, there's a lot of work that goes into this. If we could do one a year and set up sustainable distribution, and Barney, I know I'm going on, but thank you for bearing with me. There isn't anything else like this out there.
Right.
We wouldn't have made this thing if we could have found a kid's landmine awareness coloring book or activity book. We would not be doing this if there was already a saturated market. There's nothing. There's in NGO handbooks, really vague guidance on how to broach the subject. Play games with the kids. But they don't give you any games. They don't give you an example.
Like what?
So we really took guidance from NGO handbooks on dealing with kids in the subject of landmines and created the things they were postulating in those.
Right.
Yeah, and that was part of the challenge too with creating a lot of the illustrations, to just kind of piggyback off of that, is that a lot of the like visual references that we were using to create these illustrations was, I'd be using you know, actual technical drawings, but these technical drawings are made for people who are like EOD specialists or that are actually like manufacturing these things. And so they're technical to a level that is not actually useful when you're just trying to identify a strange object like a couple yards away. And so it was a matter of like, okay, well, we have to make sure this is accurate, but we also have to make sure this information is simple enough and easy enough to parse for a kid to be able to look at it and be like, oh, I recognize that. Because having all of the like, all the every little tiny detail on there is not actually helpful. That's too much information and it kind of gets lost. Right. So that was actually kind of a thing that I spent a lot of time on, was just trying to make sure that these things looked accurate, but also were not over, like too oversaturated with detail.
Right. And Amanda nailed it. It looks really good. And you could see she did a colored version of one of the mines that she did a black and white, you know, colorable version of. We've got several of these that she colored based on the color schemes that are prevailing for them. So you can see the fine line that she was describing. You know, she really nailed that with these images.
Right. And so if somebody listens to this or sees this podcast on this interview later after the Kickstarter's gone, if they want to support this project, where is the best place they could go to?
Well, you can always get updates on what we're doing as a company at skirmisher.com. So skirmisher.com. So that would be the easiest place to go and get updates on what's going on with it. We're going to make it easy for people who want to back this to continue backing it. So we decided a couple of things just recently, just last week, a lot of it at Amanda's prompting. We're going to set up a GoFundMe page, and that is just going to be an ongoing thing where people who want to support this project can go to support it. And apparently we can extend the length of a Kickstarter with a third-party site called GameFound. So in the month or so after this Kickstarter ends, we're going to be making the book available for backing on GameFound. So, and we'll announce all this at skirmisher.com. So we're going to try to make it as easy for people as possible. But basically,
we'll be trying to keep avenues open for people to help support this as long as we possibly can in whatever ways make sense.
Yeah. And we have a good group who has had some really good ideas on how to do that. I would not come up with all this stuff of my own by any means.
And so if anybody wants to learn more, Amanda, about your work, they could still go to ageofnight.com, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much. And come back on when you get another Skirmisher work coming out.
Oh, we're doing stuff all the time. We could probably come on here and chat at you with great regularity. We're very busy.
And I appreciate the opportunity. So thanks to you and to your viewers.
Any big rush.
Yeah, there we go. All right. And Amanda, it's been a minute. Last time you were on, it was episode 122.
Yeah, what episode number are we on now? I can't keep up with what number we're on.
This is 341.
You're kidding me. That is so many.
It's my first show with you, so it'll be a number that I remember.
The 341.
341.
So, but now, because before when I first started, it was like I was doing like an hour doing it. And I'm realizing it's like, you know, people kind of like, yeah, so I got to keep it, you know, right to the now doing the radio where everything's there by the minute, by the second. Now I got to know it. Just get straight to the, yeah, keep it high and tight. See, you know, just like Michael's haircut. That's high and tight, ain't it? See?
Yeah, much so. Good callback. Nice. You're on your game, man.
All right, here we go. I'll do the intro and we'll jump right in.